We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. We have a roll call on termination quorum, everybody's here. How about a motion to approve the agenda and any conflict of interest?
So moved. Second.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Swartzendruber?
Aye.
Slakos?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes. All right, we'll move into, open up a public hearing for two things. First is 24-25 certified budget. And do we have anybody wanting to speak about that? Okay, so then we'll move into the next part of it, the conveyance of the real property. Anybody want to speak about that? Give any detail about that?
This is just the extension of the lot for Mr. Ethel. Originally, I think they had messed up and it was supposed to go all the way to the fence. It didn't, so it was just moving that over, just a sliver more for that lot.
All right, we'll close the public hearings on those two items. And we'll move into consent agenda. Anyone want to get a motion for that?
I do have one thing to just add. You'll see, and it was on there on Friday, the high school had interviews today for the high school band. Actually, last week and today was the final one. Mr. Wilkins this afternoon did make an offer, and it was an accepted offer. Because Linda Russell was not here, and it was after 4 o'clock when the offer came in. I don't know if the board wants to tentatively approve that. His name is Zach
Collins.
Zach Collins. He will be a new band instructor for us. And we can do the official next Monday, but go ahead and give approval for Mr. Wilkins to make that issue. That's one we would like to get contracted. I just wasn't able to get the paperwork side done because it was a late offer.
I would make a motion that we approve the consent agenda with a tentative approval for the new band teacher.
I'll second that.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Slakos?
Yes.
Swartzendruber?
Aye.
Smith?
Yes. And we'll move down to communications, presentations, summer at-risk programming.
So we'll ask Angela Nelson and Brenda Goodell to come up. If you would push the button so your speaker works, that would be appreciated.
So my name's Angela Nelson. I'm the Student Services Coordinator, K through 12. And I am Brenda Goodell. I am the Elementary Student Services Coordinator. Do they have our presentation?
We don't have access to it.
Yes. Give me just 1 second then and I will.
Okay.
There, can you refresh?
And is that the proposal or the presentation that they have?
Presentation.
The presentation, okay. So as you open that, if you're able, the first thing that we want to bring up is the value of a program for our at-risk students over the summer. One of the terms that we use often when talking about at-risk students is their connectedness to the school. Do they feel like they are a part of the school community? And so our goal, one of the goals, is to improve the connectedness with the school and also with community members through shared experience and relationship building activities. We hope to provide experiences that some of these students might not otherwise have access to. Some of the activities that we plan will teach important life skills, including the importance of self-care and how that relates to physical and mental health, which are important things for our students, especially in the 3 through 5th and 6th through 8th grades that we're talking about. We hope to instill a sense of community engagement and volunteerism. We hope to provide opportunities for social interactions and coaching of positive social skills with peers and with adults. And we hope to increase student interest in and understanding of academic lessons through expanded background knowledge. We talk about background knowledge. It's when you have a fifth grader reading a book about a farm, but they've never left their apartment. Just being able to relate to that experience of being on a farm is something that it increases their interest, and therefore it's knowledge that's retained better. So
what does this program look like? So we're gonna have activities every Thursday between June 8th and August 15th. We're gonna do those in the morning sessions. Those are tailored for third through fifth grade. And then in the afternoon, we're gonna do sixth through eighth grade. So this is where we're gonna start piloting this program, is through our younger grades. They'll all be provided a lunch. We're gonna partner with our KFYI summer meal program. So they'll leave with the lunch, and then the ones that we pick up in the afternoon will have a lunch. We will provide transportation for them. So Brenda and I will actually be going out to their homes, picking them up, and bringing them in to do the activities. And then oversight for the student service coordinators, that'll be us, building principals, and then any additional staff, depending on how many kids that we have signed up for this program, will be helping with this. And this is gonna be a volunteer participation for students. So we're going to present this to students, and then hopefully they're willing to join.
Yeah, so we are looking at a couple different options for activities. We're still kind of in the planning phase, but you'll see on the next slide some options that we're looking at. We have a teacher who has volunteered to come in and lead our students in yoga, which will include a lesson on health and hygiene. We hope to bring the kids out to Red Rock to explore. One thing that might be interesting to you is I was with a student, a student in Marion County, and went through Red Rock the other day over the bridge, and they had no idea we lived near a lake. So we don't think about Red Rock as being an outing, but a lot of kids don't have the opportunity to experience that. We hope to connect them with community, partnering with Tyler Pearson possibly, to engage them with EMS, fire, police. Just a couple of examples of the kind of community engagement we want to offer the kids.
Yeah, just let them have a positive experience with with those people in our community. It's huge for our kids to let them know that's a safe place to go, and we would love to see if we could grill out with them and just hang out with them too. So not only see the facilities, but just hang out with those people and get to know them. So. Volunteer stuff. So we're thinking about teaching them about volunteering in the community. So we're going to help set up with the Marion County Fair. So we're going to go out there and help them set up and get started, whatever they need us to do. We're going to help do that. We're going to do some gardening, taking them out to a greenhouse and then teaching them about plants and how they grow and in full sun, you know, shade, those kind of things, and then actually go out in the community and plant in our Knoxville. When you come into Knoxville, the signs, they just have evergreen stuff in there. So we'd like to put some flowers in there and keep that up. So we've talked to Brandon about that. We'd also, like she said earlier, like to take them on a farm visit so they can experience that. And then,
go ahead. No, you're good. And then also talk about meal planning and preparation. So this is what you have in your cupboards, what can we make from that? Or you have $15, what can we go to the store and buy and prepare for your family for that amount of money? So just those types of lessons. And I think the really important thing is the relationships that are gonna be built through this. The lessons themselves are really important, but I would counter that more important is the fact that they are getting to know Angela and I on a much, much closer level. They're getting to engage with building administration and other staff from the schools. When you have a fifth grader who moves into sixth grade and they walk in and they see two men in administration that they don't know, And especially if they have behavior issues, and they're gonna meet those men under probably disciplinary experiences. When you're approaching those guys and you've been to a farm with them, or you've, you know, went fishing or prepped meals or done those kinds of experiences, and you already know that person as a person and not just as a principal or administrator, that has the potential to significantly impact that student's experience with school. We're hoping that this will also improve attendance, because they'll want to be in school, because they'll know that the people at school care about them, and they'll have those relationships that are strengthened. So that's kind of what we have put together for you guys. Do you have any questions for us?
Do you have any idea how many kids you might have apply for the program or want to be in the program, or do you have a capacity limit?
So we have identified some students, and so we have to get releases from parents. So sometimes that will knock some off the list a little bit, is having that, you know, to do that prepare before kind of thing. So we're thinking about probably 10 to 15 students in each section, in the elementary and then in the middle school, is what we're hoping that we get. So, and some, and we might know that they may not be able to show up every Thursday, and so it might look a little different, and those kind of things. So.
Seems like a great opportunity for the kids.
I think so too.
Yeah. We're really excited about it. When this was presented to us, we kind of took off on it and thought, wow, this is like the Well. We already partner with the Well some, and so they do some activities with some of our at-risk youth during the school year, and so the kids love it and have responded really well to it. So we've just kind of launched off that.
Yeah, we'll be able to see them in the summer.
Right?
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And also, I would say that the building administrators have also been excited and shown their support for this as well. I won't speak for them all as a group, but several of them have.
You're getting thumbs up in the back.
Good.
Yeah, they see the value in this as well, which is really important. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Any more questions?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next, publications, we have none for the public comments. We got one, Shane Jones. Did come, yeah, come up and tap the little button on the mic.
First of all, I want to say congratulations, Brian Slykhouse. I'm glad to see that my vote, my family's vote, got you home. So I am bringing to the board tonight an issue I have. You guys proposed an event to be held at Kinloch Stadium. My address is 905 West Main Street. I'm not even a rock's throw away from the visitor's gate. Why was I never approached to ask if I was okay with having this event at Kinloch Stadium?
We can't respond to questions. It's just a public comment. You can talk and say what you know, but we can't respond to questions. We can only.
What I'm getting at is this is going to become a very, very big inconvenience to me that day. I'm very angry at the fact that nobody approached me with this event. You guys just did this and expected the neighborhood to be okay with it. And it's like, it's just gonna be one big inconvenience for us. I have to now get some sort of liability insurance to make sure I'm covered in case somebody gets hurt in my yard or on my property. I gotta figure out how I'm gonna get home that day from work with my child. Basically, I'm not a very smart man, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a simpleton. But what I'm getting at is, you guys just approved this stuff and didn't take my neighborhood into consideration. You guys got my email, I would assume.
I think, did we?
Yes, I called her to.
Did you email them as well?
I did not, no, I was busy with the kids.
Yep, I had notified the board that we had spoken about it and you were, yes, upset that the neighborhood had not been notified.
I know you guys do your board agendas and stuff like that, but it's all technology now. I used to know what you guys were gonna be bringing up at a board meeting through the Journal Express, through the reminder and stuff like that. I don't have social media, I'm not very technologically smart. I'm waking up in the morning, going to work, going on break, checking KNIA, because that's my news source every morning, and finding out, next thing you know, Sunday, July, I'm gonna have hundreds and hundreds of people in my neighborhood. And it's like, okay. I wish somebody could have come and knocked on my door, put a flyer in the mailbox, said, hey, come to this board meeting and voice your opinion if you want this to go on or not. That's all I got, Dave.
All right. Thank you.
So, I mean, I don't know what we can do to make it right, but I sure was not very pleased with Mr. Woodhouse telling me he was going to put me up in a motel for the night when I had my kid with me. Was not, and then he told me he had a more important phone call hung up on me. I'm more concerned about somebody getting hurt in my yard and suing me. I don't know if you've ever had a situation like that happen, but I have had somebody in my family that's happened to. That city trail that goes right there by my grandma and grandpa's house down the hill from Dollar General, somebody got a bicycle wreck there, broke their nose, sued my grandparents, $2,500 later. This event was brought up, proposed, accepted, and nobody in my neighborhood was ever made aware of it. Just all I'm asking is, if you're going to do stuff down there, please take my neighborhood in consideration, Mr. Smith, please. That's all I ask.
Thanks, Shane.
Yep.
Next, we got reports, activities, and superintendent reports. Anybody have any questions for Cassie on the superintendent report? What activities going on?
There are. I anticipate in just probably the next week or two, we'll get a lot more information about how legislative session ended and things that will either be signed or vetoed by the governor. She has 30 days after the session ends in order to make that determination. So they generally wait until after she's either done her signing or it passes the 30 days, and that is then her indication of a veto.
Business, consider summer at-risk program proposal. Does it cost us anything?
It will cost us a little bit, but we do have that budgeted in our dropout prevention and at-risk funds. It'll be more a little bit on transportation, and then depending on the activities themselves, there might be a small cost depending on how many students are participating and if it costs to get in or to complete the activity.
I would make a motion that we approve the proposal for the program.
I'll second that.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Schwarzenberger?
Aye.
Slykos?
Yes.
Scott?
Smith.
Yes. Next, consider purchase of district credit recovery attainment platform.
So, and Mr. Wilkins.
I got a flow just to see if you react.
So the quote that you have in front of you is from Schools PLP. This would be a new provider for us. We have gone, since I've been here at Knoxville, we've been using Edgenuity as our platform for credit recovery and credit attainment in our Panther Success and Panther Academy.
Yep.
So this was a new option for us that we investigated. It was made possible. The AEA was part of negotiating a price for Iowa schools at a reduced rate for us, so we investigated this option, and after looking at it, found that it did everything Edgenuity does and then some. We had some nice additional features that it would offer for us, and best of all was that it came in under what I had budgeted in my annual curriculum budget for Edgenuity. It'll be, this initial year, it'll be about a $1,300 savings for us, and then moving forward without that training, it could be about $1,500 savings for us each year, giving us, again, very similar products, same number of seats, and what we feel might be a superior product in terms of how it engages students in some online learning.
Yeah, I think the two big things that we really liked PLP was, one, the interface is more designed for what students see today. We know students are into TikTok and those types of different things. They've created this to where it's a similar interface to that, so it's much more engaging for students. The other part, in addition to that, is they're constantly updating the content, which really is what we find out in Edgenuity is they do periodic content updates, but it's not constant, where Schools PLP is making constant updates. They have authors that are working on the content all the time. And then the other part of it too is, right now with Edgenuity, we have very few electives that we can offer through Edgenuity, where this has got a lot of electives that we will be able to offer our students with an online format, which is a big advantage for us. So those were the three areas that we really kind of made us lean towards the Schools POP.
This is replacing Edgenuity.
Yes.
Right. What's the overlap? You just finish the school year with the one and start the next school year with the other? Is that the game plan?
As soon as we get board approval tonight, I can send this in and we can start scheduling training and they can start setting us up so that as students, even as soon as the school year, if we want, and once students start or finish a course in Edgenuity, if they wanted to start another course, we could begin starting them on the new platform so that we would have some overlap that would allow students to finish and start courses in a more seamless manner.
How many students do we have that use this at any one time? We have 25 licenses. Is that we're limited to 25 students, or 25 people can be in the program at any one time? How does that work?
Yes. So it's seats. So 25 students can be active on that at any given time.
So we manage our two programs where they're limited on seat capacity. So in Panther Success, we have a maximum number of 15 per session that we allow, so there's never more than 15 in there. That still allows 10 seats to be available for other things, such as Panther Academy. Or even we can do some credit recovery things with students. So we still have the 10, and we really have not hit our max seat capacity per session. We're usually between that 10 and 12, which really leaves about 12 to 13 seats that we have available at any one time.
Does Did Carla Smith have an opportunity to look at it? Did she like this program?
Once we were able to get trial, Carla Smith spent a lot of time with it. Mr. Hatch is also, he's our ingenuity guru. He had an opportunity to take a look at it. He actually was able to ask the school POP reps specific questions and get all his questions answered and those types of things. So we've had all the pertinent people take a look at it, and they're all endorsing this move.
We spend about roughly $60,000 a year on ingenuity, so this would replace that.
And it gets us a better product.
We believe
so. In two ways. Okay. Is this for a motion now?
Unless
you have
a report.
I move that
we accept this.
Second.
Scott?
Yes.
Sullivan?
Yes.
Slykhouse?
Yes.
Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Next, consider district career and academic plans.
So attached to the agenda is a 33-page document, which is our district career academic plan. It's quite lengthy. We have 6 slides that we can project if you want the summarized version of that, or I shared it with Cassie if she just wants to link it to the agenda too. But I'll give you guys a chance. Had you guys had a chance to review this already?
No.
Yeah, so our district career academic plan, we've been doing it for a couple years, and our counseling department kind of started slowly taking that over a little bit last year. So I had a big part of it last year, and then we brought in other team members this year to, again, try to find ways to improve on it. So I'll let Mr. Hatch talk now.
All right, so the purpose of this, the DCAP, as we call it, it's just kind of to assess and improve upon our students' career exploration. So just kind of give us an idea of where we're going and make it a little better each year. It gives us a guide, kind of gives us the big picture of what's going on, and that way we can, what we're providing, what's out there, what's working, what we can improve upon again. And then a direction. So it helps us, there's a lot going on. There really is. Our students are getting a lot of stuff with careers and exploring and all that. So this kind of gives us the big picture what everything's going on and helps us connect all the dots together. So some feedback from last year, some areas we can improve upon, communication with the school board. So here we are. Check that one. Also development of 4-year plans. We started using Zello a couple years ago and it's really helped a lot. It's a great program. Mr. Pearson's kind of our Zello guru. He does a great job with that. We're discovering new things all the time. He does a good job getting the information out to the teachers and helping them understand what the students are going through in that. And within Zello, there's inventory assessments that the kids take as far as their values, interests. It helps them decide what college would be a good choice for them or what post-secondary option would be a good choice for them. Expenses, what college has my majors in it, things to consider before you go into college. So all those things are kind of included in Zello. So we made a big deal out of that, out of the Zello thing, and it's really enforced throughout our school day, working in Panther Time and advisory and things like that. So it's provided a great self-understanding for each student and allowed them to explore all their options post-secondary. Another area is FAFSA. So FAFSA changed this year, and I've had at least double the amount of people that have needed help on that, so we provided a lot more help this year. But I don't know if you've seen it in the news, but FAFSA's still struggling to get everything going. So a lot of our parents and students are confused with that. So we've really helped a lot this year. I think a lot of that has to deal with they've been a little confused as to what's going on. Everyone has been. And just kind of putting us all together and improving upon all those areas, I think we've done a good job of that.
Yeah, I would say, just to add to it, on that 33-page document, the state focuses primarily on 6th through 12th grade with our district career academic plan. I think we take it a step further here in Knoxville and see how that affects down to the elementaries and what we're doing that level too. Even the state reporting side starts in 8th grade, not so much the 6th and 7th grade range as well. So the next part that we're going to talk about is just work-based learning is a big focus in this, and we saw a lot of successes from last year to this year. Mr. Wilkins just got data from the state that says the average state target goal is 8.1% of students participate in work-based learning, and we were already double that at 15.3%. We had a total of 64 students when that's considered the 22-23 school year.
Yes.
Yep. As of 2 years ago, we had 64 kids participate in it, some kind of work-based learning experience. So other successes that we saw on our report card, you could say, from the state was our career day that we do, the number of presenters and the feedback that we get from students. We continue to critique it each year. We went from 2 days and 4 sessions each day, and the kids were overwhelmed. This year we shortened it down to 1 day and had 4 sessions for kids to go through. So again, always looking for ways to improve that, inviting other districts to participate. So our career day is a thing that we get a lot of feedback from other districts wanting to know how we pull it off and what steps go into getting it going for them. Like Mr. Hatch said, leveraging the Zello between our 6th through 12th grade and the tools within it. We do that from our life skills classes at the middle school level, and every grade level from 6th to 12th grade gets a minimum of 4 or 5 lessons around career guidance and decision making. And then Mr. Udemark now teaches middle school career exploration class, and he uses Zello and leverages that in his curriculum as well that we come up with on our own. So the next success we want to talk about was utilizing resources offered through ICANN. So like Mr. Hatch said, the FAFSA information was all new this year. So we tapped into ICANN as a partner to offer FAFSA nights, and they are another resource that we can call up on or partner with to give opportunities to families, and then increase communication both with students and parents. Our process this year was a little different than last year. So Mr. Hatch, Ms. Lee, and I decided early on in the fall, we got this score last year and we have areas to improve on. How are we gonna do that? It's a 33-page document, as you saw, and we wanted to figure out how can we piecemeal that slowly over the course of the year. So we've been meeting weekly or bi-weekly just to continue tackling different aspects of that report. And you can see the different areas within that. Analyzing data from our lens, but also looking at what districts in the state got good scores on this report card and how can we learn from them and better ourselves. So that is a way that we tried to focus on our areas of improvement and create plans for the upcoming year. And then the last part would just be our goals going forward. We want to continue to utilize all the tools and resources available within Infinite Campus. So beginning of last year, we got Zello brand new, and we got Infinite Campus brand new, and that was a whole lot of new in 1 year. So we're continuing to evaluate what works well in one system versus the other to make sure it's a smooth process for our students. Providing more collaboration with our CTE teachers, advisory, and community stakeholders to create learning opportunities for students. Right now, we partner with DMAC to go on different worksite tours and presentations and career discovery events. Rather than just going to DMAC, can we offer some of those things here locally? Can we leverage our hospital partnership to explore the different medical things? Can we offer our city of Knoxville different opportunities with the fire department, the police department, the courthouse, all these different things, and do some more local opportunities? Ensuring all students have meaningful career and post-secondary opportunities. Again, we do a good job with our different focused areas in the CTE world at the high school, but if we don't offer it in-house, what kind of experience can we get for kids if they're interested in cosmetology or hair salon or becoming something that we don't have in-house? How can we get them an opportunity or experience like that? And then the last one is just to continue strengthening our understanding of activities related to the ICAP essential components through 8th grade life skills and 9th through 12th grade advisory. And again, that's for the areas that we're leveraging our Zello lessons doing 5 per grade level throughout high school. 33-page document. That was kind of the Cliff Notes version.
And the document was submitted to the state on March 28th, and they'll review it and give us feedback on that like they did last time. We probably will see that in late fall. Probably no, it was November, wasn't it? I think the last time, so it'll be roughly that same time frame when we get our feedback on our plan.
And that's usually a rubric that gives us a score of 0, 1, 2, 3, and it gives us areas to focus on improvement. And they even reached out to us this last year on, hey, you guys got threes in this area. Can we use your resources for other community members? So when we went to a DCAP workshop at the beginning of the year in Indianola, our stuff was up on the slides that they were talking about, which was awesome for us to get that recognition. And then people reach out to us, and we can learn from them too. So it's nice to see Knoxville's name out there in a positive way.
Thank you for showing them all the opportunities, whatever is best for them.
Motion for that?
Yeah.
Motion.
Motion to approve this? So moved.
Second.
Laird.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Slykhouse.
Yes.
Schwarzenberger.
Aye.
Smith.
Yes. Next, consider district developed special education service delivery plan.
So this is an annual plan as well. And on the very first page of that, you should be able to see that it was originally adopted July 27th of 2022. And then the board adopted the revision June 12th of 2023. And for next school year, 24-25 school year, we were a little ahead of the game. The team has met and just updated the plan. There were very few changes. And so we are just looking for adoption. If you have any questions on it after reading through it, I'd be happy to answer those. Thank you. Any changes are highlighted in yellow.
We appreciate it. I'm not in there right now. I didn't have any questions.
This is a state mandate that we do. Actually, it's federal government that we have to put this through as well. So. All of the component pieces are pretty prescriptive, and we have a team that meets. So you'll see on page 2, the review committee for this year has to have parents, teachers, principals, and kind of a group that cross-section of our demographic group that review how we serve our students with special needs.
Motion.
I would move we approve.
Second.
Sola.
Aye.
Scott.
Yes.
Slykhouse.
Yes.
Schwarzenberger.
Aye.
Smith.
Yes. Next. Consider the fiscal year 24-25 certified budget. We put both of those together?
Well, they're just basically two different ways of presenting the information. So the first one just shows the proposed budget for 2025, our re-estimated numbers for fiscal year 24, and then actual numbers from fiscal year 23. And then second document will basically just breaks down the taxes by fund, so you can see the total asking and levy rate for general fund, management fund, physical plant equipment levy, and debt service. Still the same proposed property tax rate of 1696, which would be an increase of 11 cents per thousand of assessed value. So no changes from when we initially, from public hearing number one to now. It's all the same information.
Any Susan.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Schwartzentruber.
Aye.
Slyckhouse.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes. Next, consider 24-25 budget guarantee resolution.
So if you open up the budget guarantee resolution, due to our decrease in enrollment, we qualify for budget guarantee, so budget guarantee, it guarantees your district 101% of your previous year's total district cost per pupil. And then, so basically what budget guarantee does is basically gives you a year kind of leeway on dealing with the declining enrollment. So it is 100% funded by property tax. This, the number for budget guarantee, is included in that certified budget. But this is a step that we have to go through in order to be able to levy the budget guarantee.
I would move that we approve the budget guarantee resolution.
I second that.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Schwartzentruber.
Aye.
Slyckhouse.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes. Next, consider, let's see, where am I? On G, consider public hearing for 23-24 certified budget.
This is just publishing.
So, yeah, so this is just publishing for budget amendment, certified budget amendment for 23-24. So if you remember, in the certified budget process, there are four areas throughout all your expenses that you have to hit your budget numbers. So that's instruction, total sports services, non-instructional, and total other. This in no way impacts property taxes at all. It basically just, if we know that we're potentially gonna go over on a certain line item for our budget, you're wanted to do an amendment. That way we don't get a comment on the financial audit. The two line items that I'm proposing for an amendment are total support services, and that is due to spending out remaining ESSER III funds. And also, as you know, we replaced our copier and printers. We paid off that lease. We did not pay that, but it gets recorded as an expense because they wrote us a check. So that check goes in as a revenue, but the check that we paid off is an expense. So it wasn't, you know, necessarily a budgeted expense, even though it's recorded as one. And then also on total other, part of other is our facilities expenses. And just due to some of the timing of some of the projects that are gonna happen in spring and summer of 24, trying to play that safe a little bit and include some of those costs. So this is basically just asking to be able, I'm sorry, Larry, just asking to be able to publish, and then we will have the public hearing on May 13th for this.
Yeah, good question. The printer, that's just even money back and forth.
Yes. It's just the only problem is, Larry, is the way that the accounting works on that is it goes in, so we write a check to, it was U.S. Bank that held our lease on those. We wrote that check, so it's counted as an expenditure. This side is only worried about expenditures. They don't look at your revenue, that we had an offsetting revenue for that.
Publication of the amendment.
I second that.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Scott.
Yes.
Slyckhouse.
Yes.
Schwartzentruber.
Aye.
Smith.
Yes.
Just out of curiosity,
yes.
Craig, going along with this, since you've already passed it, all the budget things we've got are published in the newspaper for public record, right?
Correct.
So the citizens can all see exactly what we've just done penny for penny. Correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Answers a lot of questions that we get asked.
guys, consider resolution setting a public hearing on the conveyance of Lot 4, owned KHS subdivision, an official plat, City of Knoxville. So we're just setting a public hearing this day for that.
Yeah, so this resolution is essentially just setting the public hearing for the Lot 4, the old KHS subdivision.
May 13th.
Yeah, May 13th, 5:30 in this room.
I move we set the public hearing.
Second.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Schwarzenegger?
Aye.
Slykhouse?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes. Next, consider resolution for a conveyance of real property.
And this is the one we had the public hearing on earlier today.
Correct.
Okay. I move we approve.
Second that.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Slykhouse?
Yes.
Schwarzenegger?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes. And our last item, consider a special board meeting for April 29th at 5:30.
So our personnel committee meets tomorrow along with our interest-based bargaining, and we will be ready, I believe, next Monday to present to the board the updated salary schedule that includes the minimum salaries for beginning teachers in the state of Iowa with the new legislation of $47,500, and with any teachers that have had at least 12 years of experience to 60,000, and the board will have to also reapprove the actual salaries for each teacher. So we plan to be ready next Monday, along with a few more hires for the middle school for open positions. So we would like to set a special meeting Monday night at 5:30. April has 5 Mondays in it. So we do have 3 weeks between tonight and our next meeting on May 13th, and so that's a little too long for us to wait.
And we're just discussing those 3 items in that special meeting?
So far,
there might be a few timely things with some construction documents that we will also be bringing to the board if we've got a change order for the middle school and the final report for soil mitigation as well. I anticipate it being a very short meeting with a few items on it.
As a heads up, you'll be short one person. I'll be out of town on that date.
Larry, if you would like to zoom in, you may, but we would still have a quorum without you as well.
Motion that
we
have a special board meeting on the
29th
to approve the
contracts.
Second.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Slykhouse?
Yes.
Schwarzenegger? Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Smith?
Yes. All right. Announcements, I'd like to go through the dates on what's going on here. We had the Sally's committee meeting today. Tomorrow, personnel committee, April 24th, the SIAC, April 28th, baccalaureate at KPAC. 29th, a special board meeting. May 3rd, Knoxville Education Foundation. May 7th, employee relations committee. May 8th, KHS scholarship night at KPAC. And May 13th, another school board meeting. That's about it. And we're adjourned at this time. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. Appreciate it.